Have you ever wondered what happens when you give a professional dominatrix a microphone? Well, you're about to find out. Let's talk about whips, chains, cuffs. Oh my. Let's venture beyond 50 Shades. It's time to bow down to the host of Mischief Matters, Mistress Shari, but that's ma'am to you.
Good evening, and welcome to a St. Patrick's Day edition of Mischief Matters Radio. I'm your hostess, Mistress Shari, and I'm here with my ever-faithful sidekick, Catnip. And, by the way, if anybody hears panting at all, that is not like a submissive tied up in the corner of the room or me punishing Catnip. That's just my dog really angry that he's not allowed in the room to participate on this broadcast. So, I don't want to disappoint anybody with the panting, but I felt it, you know, should be mentioned. So tonight we have a really fun topic. We thought, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, and,
let's get lucky.
Let's get lucky. Like, and how do you get lucky? Because, you know, in this game of, like, online dating, online trying to find your perfect, you know, domination submission relationship and, you know, your perfect DS dynamic, like, how do you know when you got the go-ahead? How do you know when you got the green light or the green flag? How do you know when someone says to you, you know, like, if you miss all those signs, right? Or how do you even elicit a sign? How do you get a green flag? Because that's sometimes just as difficult, don't you think? Like,
yeah, I think also, like, getting a green flag and, like, for people like me who needs the green flag to be, like, slapped across the face.
Right, and even then it could be a total miss.
And even then it takes, like, months to figure it out.
right, which is so odd for somebody who, you know, who's a big fan of the U-Haul phenomenon.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. So it's just funny to me. But, you know, it's the honor. It takes a very long time to get there. But once you're there, it's like off to the races, right?
Then
it's like, yeah, move right in. So anyway, that's a different topic altogether. I don't want to digress. Tonight, as we do discuss green flags and how to get them and how to recognize them, we're also going to invite a really special guest tonight, because if you're a fan of our theme music at all, he is responsible for it. He's a former Marine. He's a yoga instructor. He is a podcaster and a writer. And, he's got some really great stories about...
He's a character.
Yeah, well, when he gets a green flag, like, because, you know, he's a yoga instructor, he's covered in tattoos, he looks great half naked, so I'm sure plenty of women, you know, are hitting on him. So I want to know how he responds.
Yeah.
Like, how does he know, like, what's the test for, like, yeah, that one I'm taking up on that offer, and that one is a visit to Crazy Town, I'm skipping it today.
Or does he wait till after that first night to see the green, is that the green flag?
Like, right,
exactly. If they hit it off in bed, and that's the green flag.
Yeah, or like, you know, does she fold her clothes and pick them up in the morning, or are they tossed? So, you know, I think all of those kinds of things people want to know. But, you know, one of the questions that I get asked a lot, so before we get to, and I should tell you, his name is Jonathan Bagnato. So he will be our guest a little later this evening. And but before we get there, there's a couple of things that I get to discuss from, like, the woman's point of view. But also, I get this unique perspective of being a pro-dom where, I do get a lot of emails and things that are, like, where people want to serve me. And they want to, have a session with me. They want to serve me, or they just want to be in my presence. I mean, we get some really weird requests. And there are some that I respond to just because, like, wow, that was so wonderfully written or so inventive or so creative or so whatever that I'll respond. And so people always ask me, like, how do I get another woman to respond? Like, you know, sometimes, I mean, if you're contacting a pro dom, you want a session. That conversation goes fairly easy. You know, it's like, you know, hi, I'm interested in a session. Okay, fine. And then the conversation goes. But what happens if you see somebody in a profile and they are a dominant, they identify as dominant, they identify as, femdom, they want somebody and they're actively looking for submissives, they're actively looking for people to serve them, and you want to send them a message, like, what can you say in that message that is going to get a response?
Like, yeah, and a dick pic isn't the answer.
No, definitely not. In fact, you know, because when you send us a dick pic, you know, then that's our dick pic to share with many. Or, you know, just to include our own memes and our own poetic license with. So
what would you say is your
my 1-2-3 plan?
No, but like your the go-to for somebody. So yeah, I guess the 1-2-3 plan that like okay. You will definitely answer this person if they follow these
okay.
Steps.
So and this is so if they say in their profile, you know, that they are a pro-dom, a dom, a femdom, a feminist, anything that says to you she's in charge and she's looking, you know, how can you serve this woman, right? What can you say? Follow these three simple steps. I'm not kidding. This will get her attention. This will at least get you a response. The first thing you got to do, read her profile. Like, actually read it from start to finish. Take in the words, you know, because she's going to give it away. She's going to tell you exactly what she wants to hear, exactly what you need to get a response from her. It's going to be written right there in the profile. And at the very least, if she didn't do that much for you, then quote something back to her from her profile so that she knows you read it. Preferably something in the meaty parts in the middle, the parts that are more difficult
yeah,
to
like,
get through. Oh, not I, a bullet
I see,
point.
I see one of your, you know, your specialties is, you know, cock and ball torture,
right.
CBT.
Or
like,
I see
I'm really interested in that, but I don't know a lot about it. Maybe
yeah.
We can discuss prior to a session.
Yeah, I mean, even if you wrote something like, I see you have a shoe fetish, so do I. Maybe we can share. I mean, something that will at least, like, what's your favorite kind of shoe? I mean, something that will actually be a conversation starter. The second thing you can do, and this is probably the most useful, be polite. Be polite. Like, use your, you know, please and thank yous. Use full words, full sentences. Please don't make her take out her decoder ring for emojis and shortcuts and abbreviations. Like, don't do that. Because just don't. That's just a don't. And then the third thing is offer her something. And that could be monetary. I'm going to lay it out there. It could be. But it doesn't have to be. Maybe she has an Amazon wish list. Maybe there's something that she's looking for. Maybe you can offer services to her. Maybe you have a job. And when I say that, I mean like because maybe you're good with computers. Maybe you're good with cars. Maybe you're good. Maybe you can offer her something in return for the you know privilege to serve her or a session or whatever. But don't send her a message saying, oh, I'll do anything you ask or I can do anything you need. Don't make her work for it. Don't make her come up with all the solutions to your problem. So what you want to do is give something that is of equal value. And the thing that a feminine, you know, feminist or a femdom, a dominant, the thing that we value the most, that's our time. Our time. It's either worth money or it's worth, you know, a service or it's worth a gift. It's worth something to us that if you want an instant in and an instant green flag, that's your ticket to the door with that specific type of profile. I'm not speaking to all women when I say this. I'm just narrowing it down to those in my profession and who subscribe to it.
And oftentimes,
that's your
oftentimes cue. Real dominance, whether male, female, non-binary, whatever, will say it in their profile. So it goes straight back to the first one. If
yes.
If you're just looking at a picture and you're replying on a picture, you don't know any of the substance. So, you know, Ms. Shashari is going to answer someone who shows that they actually are interested. That's the green flag.
Right.
Showing interest. That you took the time to actually find out about the person you're messaging. Mm-hmm. So, like, from a queer LGBTQ perspective, if you're messaging somebody in the queer community, make sure you know their pronouns. Most of us will put pronouns in our profile.
Right. And if not,
it is appropriate to ask. Like, that is going to be a green flag to the person you're interested in saying that, oh, this person wants to respect me.
Right. And I'm going to give a great example because it's almost exactly 3 years ago, right?
Next week, yeah.
That we met. So, you know, I often tell the story, like, you know, Katniss saw me, and I knew by the look I was getting that I was going to receive a message later that day. And what he did was he took something from a conversation we had and he emphasized it and reset, like, oh, remember that if you would like more information on it, I'm available and I would love to have that conversation with you. Now, that was him sending me the green flag. Like, it couldn't have been more clear than that. Fortunately for Catnip, I'm somebody who collects green flags and I love them. And when I see them, I snatch them up because if somebody is willing to go out, you know, if somebody really wants to be with me and they really want to spend time with me and they want to have that conversation with me, well then, oh my God, well, I want to talk to you too, because if you think that much of me to give me your time, I will give it back. And I'm so glad I did, obviously, because, you know, now I have him at my beck and call. So, wow, go me. But that's really, you know, the crux of it for, like, the women in my profession and also, I think, women in just the BDSM and kink community who gear towards the dominant end, don't you think? Like, if you want to serve a dominant woman, you better be prepared and show up with something to give her.
Yeah, because
of value, and it doesn't have to be money.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even just that. It's like, you know, a green flag is just, you know, versus a red flag, like we talked about last month. But a green flag is something that signifies this is going to be a positive addition to my life. Like,
right.
It's not going to just be like some guy or some
right.
girl or some person, like, feeding off my energy and
right.
making it difficult. Like, green flags, you know, and these things that dominants are looking for as from the submissive are things that you could bring to their life positively. They don't want to have to work for you. The point is that you're working for them.
Right. Like, so if you're a retired landscaper and you see that your dominant's, you know, space and area, you know, her lawn needs some, well, that's something now that you can offer as a service, but because you actually have a skill in that, you know, like, so often men will say, well, I'll clean your house. Have you ever cleaned a house before? No, I never have. Well, then why would I want you to clean mine? So, you know, make sure it's something that you have experience in. But, you know, that's what you're offering. You know, that's what you want. Because don't forget, if you're seeking a female-led relationship, you're actually asking for something. You actually are expecting a certain type of relationship,
yeah.
a certain type of dynamic. So you better be prepared to step up on your end, too. So that's what we want to say about the pro end. But, you know, we do have our email address, the radio@mischiefmatters.com, and we get some emails occasionally. We'd love more. So by all means, send us more. Even if it's just to say hi, we will give you a shout-out.
And for those who just, you know, are popping up, this is Mischief Matters Radio with Mr. Shari. You can also find us on social media. Facebook, Mischief Matters, Instagram, Mischief Matters, Twitter, Mischief Matters, of some sort.
Venmo,
Venmo is Shari _ Mischief Matters, I believe, if you, you know, want to send a tribute.
Donations to keep us on the air, that kind of thing.
I'm attempting to make a TikTok, Mischief Matters TikTok.
So
you can definitely contact us anyway.
Right. So we do get some emails. And one of the emails that we got was really kind of like a fun one. Like, somebody asks, well, how do you even know when a girl is interested in you? Like,
oh, yeah.
They you know, they're just, they really have trouble recognizing the green flags, recognizing the signs. Like, how do you know when she's actually interested? And so one of the things that I always say to people is like, well, if you're not funny and she's laughing at your jokes, you know, she's into you. like, you know, if they do that fake laugh, like, how are you so funny?
But
oh,
I feel like that could go either way, though.
No.
That could be like a shut up, like, you know, like,
No. It has a higher pitch. It's
okay.
Got a sweeter sound. You know, when it's got a twinge of sarcasm, it drips with it, you know. But dare I say, it has a little flavor of that mean girl attitude. But you know, if she's offering to do things for you that either go out of her way or things that you could clearly do yourself, but she's offering to do them for you, then you know she's interested. If she's just constantly trying to figure out a way to open a conversation with you or to get you into her space, you know, like get into the same room with you somehow. Those are green flags. That's how you know. And I get that. We've all just spent an entire year in like a virtual world.
Yeah.
So it might be a little difficult for us to recognize these signs, especially if you have a mask on.
Especially, I mean, even over virtual, it's, you know, it's the complicated thing is that I feel, you know, because I'm one of those people that it takes a while to know somebody's generally interested in me, especially when they have a lot of green flag, like especially when they're really not what I'm used to.
Right. Like, well, so like even in our conversations and stuff, like in our world of like kink community, if the conversation gets kinky and raunchy enough, like and sexy enough, chances are, and it's engaging, both people are into it, but like if you're trying to engage somebody in a sexual conversation or sexting or virtual, and they're just giving you like the one word answer or the, you know, they're just humming, they're just the M's across the board. Like, or, yeah, that's always my favorite. Yeah. And, you know, or just constantly sending you eggplants. You know, chances are they may not
actually be interested.
That's not a green flag, but if they encourage it, and if they seem to invoke it or, you know, or upset when it's over, you know, or contribute to it, keep it going, you know, if they start a nice volley.
I feel like a pro-dom or even a dominant wants to be pursued. They don't want to be the pursuer.
Yes, look, all...
You know, even though, like...
All people. It doesn't matter if you're female, non-binary, whatever, you want to be desired.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in the sense of, like, green flags and, like, reaching out to people, like, you know, I think to elicit for the people we're talking to, like, really, like, the submissive listening, to elicit the response they want from a dominant is that the dominant wants to be pursued. So
yes.
If the dominant has to, like, fish for you to say anything...
They're out,
you know, like...
I don't have time for that.
So I think, you know, genuine, like, conversating skills
helps.
You know, like, even if it's not...
Even if it's about just a
even if it's about the
subject,
weather.
Like music or movies.
Fill in the gap. Like, I want to have the time and your space, but I really don't know what to talk about. So let's talk about the pandemic or let's talk about...
Right. Let's talk about what interests you.
Yeah. So, like, even as a submissive, yes, I want to be pursued as well. But I think as a submissive, I have to put out the bait for the dominant to want to then be reeled in.
Right.
Kind of a thing. I don't know why
I'm going with
the fishing metaphor.
With the fishing metaphor? I mean, neither, because tonight. I've never fished in my life.
I've never fished either.
I don't know. I believe our guest joined us. Jonathan, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Awesome. Have you ever gone fishing, Jonathan?
I don't know. No, I'll pass. It's probably hard.
Okay. Passes. Yeah. All right. I don't blame you. All right.
Yeah.
So, if you're just joining us, we are Mischief Matters Radio, and you know, and we're navigating great computer skills here from my sidekick Catnip, and so. What we're talking about tonight is green flags. And, you know, aside from your many skills as a certified yoga instructor, a writer, a podcaster, a former Marine, which we love because that means you know how to take direction. What does it? A green flag? What?
I said, what does it? What does it mean I can take directions?
That's very true. So, John, tell me, like, though, what's a green flag? Like, first of all, actually, we have to clarify, like, when you teach your classes things, I'm assuming that women hit on you.
You know what's really funny? You know, no, actually, and I'm very grateful for that, to be quite honest. They don't.
Really? Is it like a no-no in the yoga world?
No, it's not that it's a no-no. I'm just a big believer... it's about the energy and the professionalism that you're putting out there, right? You know,
okay.
Letting people believe that they can hit on you, it kind of, I don't know.
Sends a bad vibe.
Yeah, it kind of sends a bad vibe. So, you know, I try
All right,
it,
so then like, where does it happen for you mostly? Like Walmart?
Oh, you get a lot of people totally, in your DM, totally, correct?
Totally.
Like,
Walmart,
yeah, because you have a website and you have a blog. Like, so don't people just sort of, like, put themselves out there for you?
Well, not.
I don't mean, like,
not,
put out. I meant, like, sending you messages.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Not quite. Not per se. That's not a common occurrence. I often find, I mean, we talk about green flags and just kind of reiterate some of the stuff that you guys put out there early. You know, I think that there is a level of just serendipity that should happen in something. I just kind of, I don't want to say leaving things up to fate or the mystery of life, but more so just kind of like everyday occurrences, right? It, you know, if there's a genuine, you know, interaction. You know, I was thinking about how when you guys were talking about green flags and what green flags look like to me and what green flags look like that you guys have been sharing, Catnip actually hit on something. It's just like something, you know, looking up in their page, like looking up their page. You know, some people would say, hey, that's awesome. They took initiative to find out if that you guys have similar things in common. And then some people would look at that as, oh, it's creepy. Why are you, like, you know, stalking my Facebook page to find out my likes? You know, and but I do agree with taking the initiative to identify, hey, you know, before you pursue this, like, is this pursuing this? Are you pursuing this for the right reasons or the wrong reasons? Are you pursuing this because you're genuinely interested in getting and developing a relationship with this person, or are you just interested in getting off?
Okay.
You know, and I think those are two things that have to be kind of clarified, you know, for
right,
you.
But,
you, Mr. Sorry,
but in the interest of our topic and, yeah, and you know, our general
our
theme.
Spin on the topic.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I want to know, like, I love that you have some, you know, morals and ethics regarding the dating world, but I want to know what happens when someone hits on you and gives you that green flag. Like, what's your deal breaker and your clinch maker? Like, which one is going to clinch the deal and which one is going to break it?
So I guess I'll go for both. So if I'm actively open to a relationship, right, a green flag would be obviously some sort of commonalities, right? Some sort of maybe similar interests, you know, something that we can kind of have a common ground to talk about. If I'm open to even, you know, pursuing a relationship. If I'm not, it's kind of, no matter what green flag, it's kind of an instant shutdown because I don't really want to waste their time and I don't want anybody to waste my time. You talked a lot about time, and time, whether you're in this business or not, is so valuable, right? And if I'm not looking for a relationship and or if I'm not looking to hook up, everything's a waste of time, right? Because I'm not interested in that, right? So now if I am interested, a green flag would probably be like kindness, right? I mean, you just don't want someone to be a jerk, right? And you know...
Right, well,
you
that's my big rule. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick. And like the reality of it is like you can just pay attention to how they treat other people, right? On a date, let's say, like on a date, like unless you're a freaking surgeon or you're like some sort of like, you know, emergency dog rescuing cat person... If you pick up your phone during dinner, like, we're done. Like, come on. This is, like, the 1 hour we're going to hang out and eat and get to know each other, and you're more concerned about your social media than are about the context of our getting to know each other.
Well, what if you're taking a picture of your amazing meal? Is that allowed?
I mean, you know, yeah, I'll give it. That's pretty awesome. I mean, an amazing meal, I'll go for that. But, I mean,
you're at a sushi restaurant and it's an amazing... I'm just saying.
I think that there's like a common level. I mean, like, we're all adults here. Like, you know, one would know that. I mean, I'm not looking at something and saying, oh, micromanaging or judging every single move, but it's about the attention to detail and, you know, the commonality and the really going back to it's the respect of time. So I think that green flags would be just, once again, like common interests, right? Common interests. Not just common interests, but, like, as time goes on, like, similar wants, right? It's kind of pointless if I just had a conversation with someone, they said how much they want kids, and then I don't want kids, right? So, you know, or for instance, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would be, so just kind of
so,
identifying,
so can I,
you know, yeah, please, kind of. Yep.
Can I ask a question?
And yeah.
So what would be, you know, kind of going back to, like, a little, you know, and I know you want to keep it a little PG-13-ish on your end, for your,
you can,
personal,
I mean, well, you know,
but
you
what,
you
what,
can keep it professional.
I know, that's why I said PG-13 and not R or X. but what would be a want that you would have, like, you know, like, for me, I'll just put it out there, like, I like people who are pillow princesses. And for those who don't know what that is an individual who just likes to receive sexual pleasure, okay? What would be your green flag that, oh, this is definitely going to work out?
Yeah, like, if you saw it in their profile.
Like, sexually? Or
why not?
Like,
of our show.
Like, if you're on the date and they're sexual. Really like to be shatted on, and you're like, oh, crap.
That's a deal breaker.
But is it a deal breaker?
You know, like, what you know, is it? You know, but like for some people, like, tattoos are a deal breaker.
For me, you know, it's hard to answer this question because I don't really have many deal breakers. You know what I'm saying? I believe in sexual freedom. I really, really, really believe in sexual freedom, right?
Right.
And I 100% believe in
that. There's a fine line, though, between sexual freedom and sexual hygiene. I just wanted to put that out there for people.
Sexual freedom in regards to that, if you're in a committed relationship, right, whatever that committed relationship looks like to you, if you're not able to express to your partner your fantasies, your kinks, your interests sexually, if you feel sheltered in that regard, the relationship's not going to work, right? Because people by nature want to explore these things, and if they're repressed, they're going to look outside of that covenant that you have with your partner, saying, hey, we're going to commit to each other, but to have the dialogue of some sort of sexual freedoms or the ability to talk to your partner about your kinks and your
desires. I couldn't agree more.
It's fantasy. Because you know what's going to happen is you're always going to keep, if you don't, you know, as I get older, I realize this more and more. We only have one life, right? We only have one walk on this planet. And
unless you're catnip, you have nine.
Unless you're catnip, and then you have nine, exactly. You know, unless you're catnip, you got nine, you know? But, why waste it not fulfilling your... I was actually talking to, you know, one of my friends about this today, a man who is bisexual, very, very open. I mean, he regularly dates men, and he regularly dates women, right? He is completely open. There's no preference. It's just, you know...
He's probably like me, like Pam, like whatever... floats his boat at that moment.
Whatever floats his boat. But we were talking about having a threesome, right? Not necessarily him and I, but we're talking about the wholesomeness of it, right? Male, male, female. Well, the wholesome, and you know what he said? He's like, you know, I'll be, you know, he goes, I don't know how good that would be for me, you know, this, and this. And I said, you know, the reality of the situation is, I mean, if you guys are all consenting adults with clear understanding of what you are entering into, right? You're all consenting adults, right? And hopefully no one's married or in another relationship that you would hurt anybody. As long as there's no hurting anybody involved in the process, right? Then why wouldn't you, right? If that's what three people want, right? If that's something that three people are agreeing upon, right? And it's not going to cause harm to anybody, then why wouldn't you do it, right? And those are the fantasies
a terrific loophole I'd like to include with that. If a threesome like that does present itself and all three people are really into it and you're the third wheel, like the other two are the relationship and you're the third wheel, definitely go for it, because worst case scenario, you're the third wheel. You're walking anyway.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. You just get in.
It's the best role in the threesome. I just wanted to say
absolutely.
That if you were hesitant about a threesome, that's the good role to start with.
And on that note,
wait, we have to go to commercial.
We're going to go to commercial.
But when we come back, John, we're going to definitely go back to this, because I like that part. I want to hear more. All right.
We'll see you in 5, 2, I don't know, however minutes our commercials are.
Are we on commercial?
We are now. You hear me?
Are you in the market for kinky and not quite vanilla people to connect with, date, or even just enjoy some adult fun? Maybe you're looking for the chance to learn from experts on relationships, sex, and kink education topics. Hi, I'm Nookie Notes, and if you answered yes to those questions, I invite you to check out my site, Dating Kinky. At Dating Kinky, we provide a one-of-a-kind dating site experience. You'll find an education hub with live and on-demand classes and workshops, books, and more, and an interactive community where people from around the world can meet and engage. And coming up on the horizon, look for the premiere of our Dating Kinky app, due to be released in February 2021. For more details, come check out our website at datingkinky.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dating Kinky and on Instagram at Dating Kinky Official. I look forward to meeting you. Thanks, and have a kinky day.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on artistfirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
That's right. At 10 p.m. every second Wednesday on artistfirst.com, it's the worldwide internet show, the G.L. Henderson Radio Hour. Tune in to hear his special guests from professionals, live topics, and get a blast from the past with musical legends like Lisa Lisa, The Temptations.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Manhattans.
Honey,
Shanice, Shirley Murdoch, Dana Dane,
to make it interesting, it's me, Dana Dane,
Tina Marie, and more. Tune in to the G.L. Henderson Radio Hour, the king of relationship drama fiction. Every second Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com.
Welcome back to Mischief Matters Radio with your hostess, Mistress Shari, and my faithful sidekick, Catnip, who apparently has nine lives and is edging on losing one of them. You know, as we are, here's our special guest tonight, Jonathan Bagnato, who is a certified yoga instructor, a podcaster, a writer. He does my theme music. I love my theme music. And he is responsible for that. So we're very proud of that. And we're talking tonight about green flags and how to recognize them. And, you know, what does it look like when you get the go-ahead from somebody you're interested in, or some, even if you didn't know you were interested in them, but they're showing an interest in you, so you're like, hey, let me visit that. So we're talking about how do you recognize that and how do you get lucky? Yes. Day. Yes.
On being magically delicious.
Yeah, especially in a virtual world, right? So John, you were telling us a story about a conversation you were having
about my friend who wanted to
threesome. That's
yeah,
what
you
we were
guys
talking
are
about.
Talking about
threesomes. Yeah, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I'm getting older here. It takes me a while to remember what the hell I'm talking about. That's why we write it all down. So
that's why she has me.
That is. Everybody should have a catnip, by the way. If you don't have an assistant, get one. It's life saving. But tell me more about, like, you know, short of just, you know, some women, you know, I don't know, just actually showing up naked in your bed. Like, how do you know that a woman is actually interested in you? Like, what signs do they give you that you're like, oh, this person, you know, maybe it's not always a woman. Like, how do you know when somebody's interested in you?
I mean, I always joke with people, like, this is going to be really funny. And I guess I have to say this to every man out there that may be listening to the show. I make sure it's like, unless there's some sort of written through social media, through email, through a text message, unless there is some like written thing that specifically says, I want to do X, Y, and Z with you, I genuinely don't even indulge it. And it has to come from the female or the other party.
We live in the Me Too movement?
I need some sort of, and I say this to every guy, just be smart. I don't even play around. I just need to have some. I actually have text messages. I actually have all my text messages.
Okay, but then how do you know you even want to get that vibe from, like, what does she do to let you know that that's coming?
I think that
that's
going to
be her next statement.
I think women today are much stronger, and I think that there's much more freedom in being open about sexuality. I think people understand now that, you know, women, and I'm specifically talking about, you know, cis females that identify as a woman and that are looking for a cisgender male. I hope I do that justice. But a woman who identifies as a woman wanting a man who identifies as a man in a heterosexual relationship, right? So that's what I'm specifically talking to. And now when I say women, I also mean women who are in the transgender community, because they are women. So any of that spectrum, right? Any of that, anybody that identifies as a woman trying to hit me up as a straight man, right? With that being said, I think that there is a lot of freedom today that, you know, years ago would be like, oh my God, like a man can have sex with 50 women and he was a champion. He was a hero. He was like someone that's this amazing dude. And then a woman has sex with two dudes and she's like a slut, right? And I think we're past that. We're like long past that. So I think women we're past that. But I think women have more courage and they have more, you know, understanding of life now that they I don't mind taking the lead. You know, I believe that, you know, women want to take the lead in everything, as they should.
Wait for that initiative.
I wait for that initiative. Otherwise, I don't even bother, to be honest with you. I mean, I always my line would be, I'd rather be in bed petting my cat and playing video games, right? So, you know, what are you going to do to drag me out of that? You know what I mean? Like, if you flat out say, hey, I'm interested in maybe getting to know you, or maybe having sex.
So they basically have to spell out, you can pet that into your mind. Like, that they actually have to say.
You have to spell it out. Yeah, pretty much. Through text message, email, or some sort of documentable, you know, thing. Because otherwise, I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I'm not the most. It's not that I'm not trusting. I very much am trusting. But, like, you look at things that happen in today's society, you know, people go backwards decades. Decades. So, like, yeah, this party when I was 16, this kid was drunk and he raped me. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. Not that those things shouldn't be looked at, right? But, you know, like, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty, right? Now you don't even have to prove someone innocent. The minute anybody says anything, you're done, right? So, like, even when I do my podcast or when I'm talking in yoga class or even here, I'm trying to be so mindful. A, I don't ever want to hurt anybody. I don't ever want to give information that I don't stand behind or things that I don't do in my real life, right? And I don't look for anything in particular from any female. I look for being genuine. I look for a genuine sincerity of getting to know me. And then I ask myself, am I also willing to reciprocate that being genuine? And
so you feel a lot like I do, like getting a message that just says, sup, isn't really going to cut it for you.
I don't even open it up, to be honest with you. I don't even
to call your Insta and maybe they can. Yeah.
I have currently sitting in my message, and not that these people are soliciting me. I mean, trust me, no one is. But it's, I some text messages, I'm like, what am I supposed, like, you know, it's, the bigger question is, it's like, how to end text conversations? Like, I feel like it just goes back emoji, 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 and you have this 50 string
of
emojis.
Oh my God,
one person is like, all right, I got it, like, I read it, check. Like, what do I say? I have nothing to say, you know?
First of all, when I get all those text messages with all those emojis, I then have to screenshot it to Katniff to tell me what the fuck all those emojis mean. Because I don't even know what half of them are.
Yeah, I don't. And then you
send
the
wrong
thing?
Message like that is silly.
Or like, dude, when you send a meme,
Yeah.
And they're like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't actually know, but this is my take on it.
Well, right. Unless you send direct ones like I do that, like, say, I hope he's, you know, single, I'm going to climb like a tree. I mean, that's pretty blatant, right? Like, then that's like a sure sign.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say this because it's live and it'll be recorded. I'm glad that after thousands and upon thousands upon thousands of years, we finally circled back to hieroglyphics. Like, because that's where we're going to actually come back to, right? We don't really...
Right, isn't that amazing? I don't really have time to spell out the whole world. I'm just going to send you a picture.
You know what? I argued with emojis for a long time. I've gotten to countless arguments over emojis, and more than I care to admit. But in the end, and it was recently due to a post actually about love, that I really have to stop and I like to think about things. And I said to myself, all right, the joke was, right, if someone says I love you, someone texts I love you, I text I love you, and then you get back an emoji, does that person even really love you, right? And I posted that, and my first take on that was like, yeah, no fucking way. If can I curse, by the way? Is that, like, loud? I mean, I know this is a sexy show.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'm good? All right, cool. So,
hey, but so, you know what? But if I send the heart back, it took me, like, 12 screens to find that fucking heart. I really goddamn mean it.
Yeah, you mean it. But you know what? Even going further into that little heart, right, is what I realized is that what emojis have actually done, which is amazing, is that there's so many people that have a hard time effectively communicating, that can't say the words or that have a hard time saying the words, right? And we can't judge their love because they don't write out, I love you, versus saying, here's a heart, right? Because that might be their best way to express their feelings. And on top of that, which
is beautiful, so an eggplant is like a dick pic.
So would you say when you're having a conversation with whomever and, you know, you want them to write out explicitly what they want from you, will you accept, like,
an eggplant?
A cat face,
I will not,
you know, with a peach
and a princess
and, you know, water droplets and an
definitely
eggplant.
Not. And water droplets. Negative. Definitely not. Definitely not. Although it would probably
but what if it actually smells a coherent scent?
But I will say this too. It's great. It's also a universal language for the most part, which is beautiful because we don't think about it like this. Every country, for the most part, that uses, you know, on iOS or Android a device, we all serve on
great,
the same.
So emojis have become the new Morse code.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, if I was messaging someone that in China that didn't know the language, and I sent them a heart, they can interpret that as at the very least a symbol of something positive as opposed to something negative, right? You know, and once again, you know, I mean, now that we can all identify an eggplant as a penis, then, you know, if I sent an eggplant out there, well, with a little squirt emojis, I would assume that whoever I'm talking to will now know that they are going to get the eggplant and some water sports. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I think it's tricky. I think navigating this world is tricky. And I think that social media has actually taken us further away from connecting on a real level.
I know, I can't wait till it becomes retro to communicate again.
Yeah. It is. It's tricky. And you know what? What happens is, you know, there's that little bit of we itemize people's lives when we scroll through. So I make an extra effort not to scroll down people's, you know, profiles or look them up, or because I want to be surprised either pleasantly or not pleasantly, right? You know, I want to live in the moment, right? What happens is, you know, people's identities online often sometimes it doesn't match up to who they really are. Right.
No, it's sometimes it's their alter ego. It's not even who they really are.
Or I was going to say, like, is there anything that when you do decide to, like, scroll through, that is something that you're like, oh, shit, like, I really want to get to know this person. Like,
yeah,
Like, for me, like, if there's anywhere on a person's social media page that says they don't like cats, I'm out. Like, period. Done.
Right, kind of like if, you know, or I'm, you know, just done if you can't, like, spell and have a conversation.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Is there anything that interests me? I mean, you know, for me, I always find girls that are, like, really heavily into comic books or video games or really, like, my world, the things that I know about, that have a real passion about it. Not like the fake gamer girls that dress up and put on a costume just to be thirst traps for guys, but you can always scroll by every once in a while, and you know, you'll see a girl that really like is interested in this stuff. You know what I mean? And it's not so much I even would necessarily want to date them, as opposed to just almost want to be their friend, because here they are as a female that is.
So you might actually reach out to somebody if you came across a profile like that that was like genuinely had the same common interest that you had.
So what I always do if I'm interested in someone, I try to let any sort of relationship evolve organically, right? So you can reach out, you can say, hey, what's up? I saw you either on the dating profile or I saw you on Instagram. You know, I start by not even necessarily going in their DMs per se. You know, maybe I would just comment on a picture, something meaningful, right? Something that was sincere, like, oh, that's, you know, if it's that's a really great yoga pose. Like, I have a hard time doing that, right? But it has to be something that I mean, right? There has to be some sort of, you know, real meaning behind it, because otherwise, it's just looking at you. Tribute when you look at someone on social media. What happens is with dating, it's like here is this smorgasbord, right? And we instantly go to what someone looks like. Right, so we're like, oh, here, there's a pretty face.
Absolutely.
And then what happens is we actually end up trivializing the person, and we actually end up making them a means to the end, right? Because we stop the process of being interested in that person beyond what they look like, right? And then they become often an object.
Yeah. So I have a question.
Right,
I have a question for both of you.
Yes.
So if you're, you know, like Ms. Shashari, like
you're questioning me.
I'm questioning you. if you're getting, you know. You're looking at a profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that profile, specifically for like FetLife, is just like abs and dick pics. Like, are you more or less likely to engage with that person?
Well, okay.
And then on the other end for John would be like, you know, do like half naked or a lot of bikini shots. Like, are those kind of like things that like
there's a couple of things to this, because that's a great that is a great question. Sometimes, especially on FetLife, you do only see pictures from the neck down.
Yeah.
People don't put their face on. They obscure certain body parts, whether it's identifying, you know, birthmarks, tattoos, things like that. So if there's, like, a lot of pictures like that, but you could tell that they are personal pictures, like, of real human beings, like not screenshots
or
stock photos, then I take that into consideration. I really do. Because I get that there may be an underlying, you know, reason why they're not putting, like, friendly pics up. But if it's just a whole profile with, like, no substance, like, hi, I never know what to write in these things, so I'm going to leave mine blank. And then there's just tons of, like, anime pictures of porn and no, not even real people. It's all, like, stock photos. It's all, like, this.
Memes.
And just memes and just a litany of so-and-so, like, this mistress's photo and this woman's photo and this one's photo and this, you know, queer's photo and this gender photo and this trans, whatever it is, like he just likes and likes and likes and likes and but there's nothing written in his profile, you know, I'm gonna have a hard time responding or getting excited about a message from that person, because I just don't think they're even genuinely interested. I think they're playing the numbers and that they're going like, oh, I'm just gonna send out a bunch of, you know, generic messages, and whoever hits me up, and I can see right through that. So for me, you know, when I do get even a strange message or a message that I think lacks a little social skills or whatever, and if I go to their profile and I at least see that they took the time to write a profile, maybe put in some pictures. I've even seen where they've said, please pardon the fact that I have no pictures. I don't want any on here. If we engage in conversation and down the line we decide to exchange, I will. Like, at least that's honest. At least that's upfront. At least I know exactly why there's no pictures in that. And so I don't have to ask and fish. And it's self-explanatory. So those kinds of things do prompt me to even respond to the not-so-fluffy messages, you know, not-so-filly, what's the word I'm looking, substantive messages. Yeah. Like, I'll respond to those because at least, you know, if they're, and maybe there's something in their profile that, you know, struck me. Like, you know, if a Star Wars quote is in there, you know I'm going to be all over that. So it's, which, by the way, is something Jonathan and I have in common. you know, that should be a whole other episode. We could talk about the king found in Star Wars. You and I could go to town on that.
It's such a mess.
It's awesome.
It's like the more I think about some of the stuff in Star Wars, we can all pretend that, you know, the fact that, you know, pretty much for, let's say, 6 hours of my life, there was this massive incestual relationship between a dude liking his sister. I mean, and that kind of happened on a global scale. You know what I mean?
Right,
and
absolutely.
We just kind of like, no big deal.
It also
deal.
Made it just, completely okay to chain a woman up as totally. A slave in a metal bikini. But, you know, and that has pretty much set the standard for my entire profession.
Yeah, I think as a kid growing up, too, like, I don't know why I was like, man, this is sexy. Here's this giant, green, disgusting blob sitting there,
right.
yet strangling this woman. And as is like, and then I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that was like my first introduction to some weird erotic shit, but fucking
yes,
Jabba
the
Hutt.
I have news for you. I know how young you were when you saw it. It was.
Like, I'm like, ooh, well, hello. Who is that? I mean, she looks
right.
great. You know, I mean, she was way beyond. She was like, you know, back then, whatever it was, the early 80s, right, or the late 80s, mid 80s. You know, she was in like 20. I'm talking about Return of the Jedi. It was, I think, 86. So she was in 2030. Carrie Fisher was in 2030 when she was in that role because, I mean, the fact that she pulled it off looking as good as she did way back yonder, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie.
Thing is, like, she's the princess that, I don't know, that, like, women like me totally sided with and ascribed to be because she wasn't a princess who was going to not get her hands dirty and not participate with her people that she was leading. So, you know, she was the first people's princess. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
She was the people's princess.
She really was.
But I have to try to make something.
Gets my vote.
About what you said about, you know, checking out people's profiles, right? Now, in FetLife, it's a completely different beast. It's a totally different beast. I mean, people are on there to express their kinks, their sexuality, to connect with people with like-minded kinks and sexuality.
Right. It's Facebook.
You're looking for that.
Kink. It's the pornographic Facebook, if you didn't know.
No, totally. And I don't think a lot of people do know. I think more people would be on it if they knew. But the thing is, I think when you are trying to, you know, for once again, going back to that bubble of, cis female, cis male, both in a heterosexual relationship, right, on, let's say, given the, you know, TikTok/Instagram/Facebook, and, you know, one of the reasons why I don't look at people's profiles, because no one, right, no one is immune from judgment. And anybody that looks through anything, you're going to find probably, you know, I'm a big believer of the thinker thinks, the prover proves, right? You're going to find what you're looking for, right? So if you're looking for a reason not to hit this person up or not to communicate with this person, you're going to, right? And if you're going to find that one thing, if you're so desperate or you so want to hook up with this person, you're going to find that one thing, right, that's going to make you reach out to them, right? And then what happens is you have this preconceived notion in your head, right? By just looking at, like, for instance, you know, you want to, you know, if you see someone's posting constantly about things that you adamantly stand against, why would you hit them up? Just because they have a bunch of bikini pictures up there? You know what I mean? And that happens. Trust me, that happens. It's like, oh, there's, you know, a ton of...
Oh, absolutely. I have seen, like, even just, I'll have a great conversation with somebody over direct messaging for like a while, back and forth, texting, whatever. And then, I don't know, something will come up where you're like, oh my God, you believe in that? And
yeah, like,
it'll
oh my,
kill
it, exactly.
the whole thing.
And it kills the whole thing. And here's the thing, and that's fair, because then that's the opposite of the green flag. That's the opposite of the green flag. You know, I was talking to, who was I talking to today about this? We were saying how, you know, somewhere along the line, right, because no one really teaches you how to date, right? No one teaches you what
well,
what
not
you
anymore.
Should be
not
for.
If you don't watch 80s movies. No. You won't learn a goddamn thing.
You won't learn. So, yeah, continue.
But I have to tell you, there have been times where people have approached me or messaged me where I'm like, ugh, this is so not anything I'm into, and they keep going. And then all of a sudden they will say something that is a common interest between us, is a something that I'm like, a belief maybe that I have, whatever, that is shared, and it can actually turn the whole thing too. Like, Which goes to the whole point of why it's so important to actually have conversations with people.
Well,
because if you don't, you don't get that opportunity.
Absolutely. And that's why I said you're speaking at
people. Somebody
I
mean, over to your chat, you know?
That's kind of the problem with, you know, dating apps in general. Because
right.
All it is swiping. So you're just, most people, especially like things like Tinder, like most people don't go out there for files.
I forgot about Tinder.
And all you're looking at is a picture. You're basing any type of
right. Oh, you want to hear the cutest
thought
thing?
Process.
My husband was actually discussing with me plenty of fish today, and I'm like, honey, I don't think anybody uses that anymore.
Actually, plenty of fish. Wait, check this out. I got to give you guys two pieces of information real quick. You're gonna love. Plenty of fish is still actually one of the most widely active.
Oh, really? I never heard anybody talking about it.
It's the oldest. It's the oldest. Okay, it's the oldest. This is going back 20 something years. It's filled to the brim with active people, right? With active people.
Wow. And, I have no
idea.
It's huge.
You get a lot of catfish on there, though.
You can get a lot of catfish. And Tinder is actually introducing – now, I read this. I don't know how true it is. I looked up at it a little bit. But Tinder is actually going to is working on a platform that within Tinder, you can actually start doing background checks, surface-level background checks to see that these people – that you're talking to aren't
criminals. Oh, yeah, you can verify yourself.
Or you can now verify.
Oh, so that
you can
know that you're an actual real person.
Yeah,
and
you're not
a robot.
That's
very useful. I don't know about this because I've never used a dating app. I've never been where I needed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been on them.
I've been on them. I've never used them. A lot of my girlfriends are all on Bumble, and they always ask me, they joke. They always ask me about... You know, this, and similar to this. Similar to this. They're like, hey, what would I put on to attract, a guy? And in the end, it all comes down to this. It's just the more you can be yourself, your authentic self, and honest with yourself, right, the better you're going to be out there. So green flags, really, to bring it back to some degree to that, is just giving yourself the opportunity.
Don't be a dick and be authentic.
Yeah, don't be a dick. Be authentic.
But if you're authentically a dick.
Well, then you're a dick.
There's going to be some people that are
going to want
you. Or there's going to be the people that want the authentic dicks.
Because there are definitely people who like that arrogant cock. I mean, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun and very enlightening. But, we do like to ask our guests, really fun questions. Before we go, some fun stuff. And I did have two questions in mind for you, but we kind of did them already. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you just some random stuff that we like.
I'm very interested.
The first one is so just what's your honest opinion? Like really, what do you think of garden gnomes?
Oh, listen, I can't. Listen, I feel so bad. My best friend, I go up to him. So I feel this is a real situation. It happened over this past weekend. And I go up to his house. He has this beautiful house in Delaware. Just got this beautiful house. He's a little older, not old, 60s, not old. So I go to his house, and I'm, super excited. And this nice, sprawling, open, entry, the foyer entranceway, and these beautiful brick stairs. And at the fucking top of the stairs is this fucking garden gnome. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck is that? You have this gorgeous house. Why is there this garden gnome here? You need to get rid of it. I can't even look at them. They're the creepiest fucking things I've ever seen. That's a red flag for me. You have garden gnomes? I'm like, now he explained why he had that one garden gnome, right? So I will go for it. I totally understand it. It was his brother's garden gnome, and they had it since they were kids, and it was a joke, and his brother passed away. So I get it. That garden gnome gets a pass, right? But if you have one garden gnome and you don't have a significant story as to why you have the garden gnome, I can't handle that.
The people who make, the garden gnome houses out of the trees?
Stop. I can't even think about that. It grosses me out. Listen, I didn't even watch The Dark Crystal for 30 years because those little creepy things creeped me out, right?
One of my favorite shows was David the Gnome.
I guess you weren't watching that one.
All right, do you have garden gnomes? Now I need to know. Do you have garden gnomes?
Well, if I do, I would only want the one that I've seen that is dressed up in the BDSM gear. to stick right on my front lawn and horrify my neighbors. Sold. I think that'd be fun.
You might have one.
I think. Isn't he dressed as a hippie?
On your front stoop,
yeah. Yeah, and he's dressed as a hippie with the peace symbol. Yeah.
I'll take that. So for me,
yeah, he's like in tie-dye, and he looks like he just came out of a Dead concert. Okay, so I have one more question for you. This one, you know, I don't want to say you're being judged on how you answer it, but, you know, there might be judgment.
But you're being judged on how you answer it. Got it.
Right.
Fair enough.
So I got to know, in this age of pandemics and everybody, you know, not socializing and not having parties, really, what was the best holiday present that you received last year?
It was fantastic, right? I got a spectacular edition of a record of a Britney Spears album, and I got a Star Wars hat, and it happened to be the best gift that I got in probably multiple years. So I would
That is the only correct answer that you could have possibly given. I would like to congratulate you on a job well done.
It is also very true, so I can't even pretend like that's not true. I was very, very excited to see that Britney Spears album.
Even I was excited to get that gift.
I am a huge fan. I actually was looking on Etsy the other day for vintage Britney Spears t-shirts. I'm very serious about my Britney Spears.
This may be why you're not getting hit on in the grocery store.
And it also is probably why I'm not getting hit on in the grocery store. I mean, does it count if they're like 75-ish? Like, does that count as getting hit on? Because that happens a lot.
It does count. I mean, anytime somebody wants to be with you, I think it counts.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? I mean,
right,
anytime.
Great. Let's do it.
Quote from one of my favorite movies, Notting Hill. Anytime somebody wants to be with you is pretty great, actually.
Okay, fair enough. I will take. So I will go back to Maggie, who is 77, I think, and I will make sure that we make it happen.
Yeah, or at least send her a dick pic. No.
At least send her a dick. I try to make sure that any old lady, 65 and above,
they have to go out with a bang.
Yeah,
you gotta let them
enjoy their last couple years.
I feel like it's a responsibility of single men out there, you know, to just make sure that they take care of the elderly.
I think it is. We brought you into this world, you know, you should see us out.
Yeah, exactly. The elderly population, we just give them the old one-two.
At least you could escort us on the road out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like it's the kindest and most loving thing you can do, you know? It's great.
Absolutely. All right, well, Jonathan, thank you so much for being on tonight. This is a lot of fun. I also want to thank our listeners from all over. We have listeners from Kansas City tonight.
A bunch from Jersey, New York.
Where else? Fairhaven. Where else did he say? I wrote it down, but do you think I can find where I wrote it?
As always, we want to thank those who do listen.
I know we got some international listeners. Yep. And please tell your friends, have them download it. And you can reach me at Shari, S-C-H-A-R-I, at mischiefmatters.com, or radio at mischiefmatters.com, or where else can you reach me? Catnip
we
knows all of
this. On Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Mischief Matters. We are on Instagram, Mischief Matters. It's just Google or find Mischief Matters.
And
you can also go to the website, mischiefmatters.com, and there is all the links through that as well.
And if you're in New Jersey and you want a session with me, there's also links to how to do that on my website as well. And Jonathan, you have a blog. Why don't you drop your blog? Let people know where they can reach out to you.
I do. So for my blog, right, it's just my name, johnbagnato.com. The best way to get in touch with me is through Instagram, right? That's my go-to platform for everything. And it's Johnny Diehard on Instagram, right? A lot of Johnny J-O-N-N-Y, Die Hard, right? And a lot of cute pictures of my 3-pound dog. And I live under the Brooklyn Bridge. So, you know, if you needed to get me, I am there.
Right. Awesome. So what, the new LG corrugated box right there on the left, probably?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. That's where I live. That's where I'm at on a regular basis. No, I'm coming out with a podcast very soon. I'm actually working on it. I actually had a hiccup with it. Not even a hiccup, actually. I was going to start a podcast and everything I needed, and then I just realized I wanted to have a quality video on YouTube as well. So I basically delayed the release of my podcast so that I can also include a video with each episode. So awesome. That should be coming. Yeah, so that's where we're going. That should be coming out
soon. Wow, we didn't even plan that one.
Yeah.
Well,
yep,
that's awesome. Well, let us know when that comes out, and we'll make sure to highlight it.
All his information is also up on our archives page on artistfirst.com/Shari.htm. You could find John's link tree to all his pages and stuff like that as well.
So thank you for listening tonight, and don't forget to tell your friends and download us from artistfirst.com. And, just remember that, a little mischief matters. Good night.